Alright, today's daf is Tzadik Vav, but we left off yesterday towards the end of Tzadik Hei Amud Beis. So we had in the Mishnah this cryptic statement of Rabbi Yossi, Kol she posa de echeirin posa de atzmoi, kol she eine posa de echeirin eine posa de atzmoi. So it was, so the implication was the case where if he makes a situation for himself that he's, when it's also to him, then it's also to the others, and when it's mutter to him, that when it's mutter to, doesn't make it also for others, then he doesn't make it also for himself either. So we were trying to understand what on earth he was talking about. So the situation is where the fellow's wife and his brother-in-law, i.e. his wife's sister's husband, went overseas together, and someone came and told them that they both died. So they married, that his wife and her husband died, and therefore they decided to marry each other. So what's the situation? So Rav Ami explained that it's that the case of Poisel, when does it make it no good for both of them? When they got married al pi eid echad. Because like we said, al pi eid echad, it's, what's the expression? Caveat emptor, right? Like it's
no, that's something else. Why
beware?
Yeah.
So.
Yes, so therefore it's her, they said to her, yeah, you can remarry, but if it's no good, it's on your head. So therefore, in that case, it's no good for her, and it's no good for him either. Yeah, so therefore, she is not allowed to go back, the sister-in-law is not allowed to go back to the brother-in-law, and his wife is not allowed to go back to him. And what's the case of where it was okay, where they're both allowed to go back? When there were two witnesses, when they did it according to the words of two witnesses, then it's onus. Because it's an onus, therefore the sister-in-law is allowed to go back to her husband, and therefore the wife's allowed to go back to the first husband. So that's the way Rav Ami explained Rabbi Yosef. Now we're up to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. It's the third wide line, near the beginning of the line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, so we'll start from here. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha gives a different explanation in the words of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, and he says, La'olam ha-seifa, that Rabbi Yossi is referring in both cases to the situation where it was al-pied echad. It wasn't to do with the distinction between the two cases of Rabbi Yossi is not whether she married al-pied echad or she married al-p-2-edim. It's the distinction is in within the case itself of the guy whose wife and brother-in-law went overseas. Is hard to ask the arusasa v'gisoy. It depends on whether his wife was to him an arusa, so they had kiddushin, but it not yet nisuin. The hard to ask the ishta v'gisoy. Ishta refers to when it's a full wife, i.e., they had already nisuin. Is what's the situation? Because Ka'amar Tanakama says it doesn't make any difference. We don't care whether the guy was married to his wife Kiddushin or already had Nisuin. It's the same thing. If she married thinking he was dead, she went and married somebody else mistakenly, then she's al pi eid echad, then she's allowed to do it, but she gets the penalty if she's wrong. Yeah? Loishna ishta v'gisa, it doesn't make a difference. If his wife was married to him, nisuin, loishna rusasa v'gisa, doesn't make a difference if it was only, she was only in arusa. Is in either case, ish eshas gisa is asira, the wife of the brother-in-law is going to be also to him, like the normal case of a woman who accidentally married somebody else thinking her husband was dead and married al pi eid echad. So the sister-in-law is asur to the brother-in-law. Yeah, the ishta is sharia, but his own wife, the first guy's wife, is mutter to him because she didn't do anything wrong, and the fact that he had a relation with his sister-in-law does not make his wife asur to him. That's what the Tanakhama says. There's no distinctions on whether it was erusin or kiddushin. Why would you think there's a difference? You'll see in a minute. Rabbi Yossi thinks there's a difference. Rabbi Yossi says no. Ishta v'gisoi, when it was his full wife, so Reuven's wife was completely nisua to him. Yeah, the leka lomeimar tznoi havale b'nisuin. If they have nisuin and they've already been cohabiting, then no one's going to think that there was some kind of a conditional marriage going on here. Because if it's a conditional, kiddushin can be conditional. A person could say, I read my kiddushinly, I'll menace that I win tatz lotto next week, yeah? And it doesn't happen, then there's no marriage. But a person doesn't do that with nisuin. You could say that when it's just words. But people aren't going to do that when they're actually going to live together and have be intimate, etc. A person's not going to do that and make it al tnai. Yeah? Because then he ends up having a bilas nus if the tnai isn't fulfilled. Yeah? So therefore, when it's a nisua, so people watching, what are they going to think? Yeah? They're not going to think there was a tnai in the nisuin. Yeah? So therefore, there's no reason, according to Rabbi Yossi, the whole reason why when a woman married thinking her husband was dead, yeah, she's not allowed to go back to her husband because people will think that the original, that only applies by Kiddushin. People will think that the Kiddushin to Reuven was not real. Why did she marry Shimon? Because the Kiddushin to Reuven had some condition and that wasn't fulfilled. They will think that her marriage to the second guy is real. Yeah, and then they'll think that Shimon divorced her and she went back to Reuven. If we allow her to go back, people will think that a person's allowed to remarry his divorcee after she's married to somebody else. Yeah, so people are not going to realize, people are not going to realize that it's because it was a mistake. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, when it's, that's all applies by Kiddushin. But by Nisuin, no one's going to think that there was a Tanai in the Nisuin. Yeah, so everyone's going to know that it was a mistake based on the witnesses giving them false testimony. And therefore, no one's going to make up new halachas based on that. Yeah, and therefore, eino poisa yadayacher. Therefore, the sister-in-law is allowed to go back to her to the brother-in-law. Is therefore eino poisa dayatzmai. But therefore, it doesn't make his wife not be allowed to go back to him. Aber arusase v'gisay. When his wife was only married to him as an arusa, te'ik alamei matnai havale b'kiddushin. When people see him marry his sister-in-law, yeah, after his wife, he thinks his wife is dead, people are going to think, why is he marrying his sister-in-law? Because he wasn't really married to the first wife, because there was some kind of a conditional string attached, yeah? And therefore, so he's going to marry his sister-in-law, and then you're going to allow his own wife to come back to him, you're going to end up with if you allow her to go back to her husband, or you allow his wife to go back to him, people are going to think that he can marry his sister, his wife's sister, or people are going to think that she can marry her husband's brother. Yeah, because people are going to think that, you know, like, so swapping wives almost. If you allow her to go back, if you allow each one to go back to the original one, people will think that the second marriage was legitimate, and then they got divorced and they swapped, and you can't. And so therefore, people will think all sorts of wrong halachas. So therefore, the Chachamim said, nothing doing. No one can go back to anyone. And therefore, poisle de acherim. The sister-in-law can't go back to the brother-in-law. So his wife can't go back to him, even though his wife did nothing wrong and didn't have any relationship with anybody. Yeah, because in the case of the sister-in-law, people are going to think that either she's married to the first guy, and therefore you're going to end up with all the kinds of different mistaken halachas. Therefore, they said you can't do it. So according to the Rab Ami, the distinction is whether they got married al pi eid echad or al pi shnei eidim. Yeah, if it's al pi eid echad, then if they stuffed up, then they're in trouble, or you get all the penalties from the first Mishnah. And if they did it al pi shnei eidim, then it's good. They can go back to where they were. According to Rabbi Yossi, it all depends on what people are going to think when they see it. Are they going to think there was a tznai in the Kiddushin, and therefore it's really the marriage of the second one that was the legitimate one? And therefore, if he goes back to the first one, people are going to make all sorts of mistaken halachas or not. It's Om Rabbi Yehuda, Om Shmuel, halachak Rabbi Yossi. It's a Shmuel, paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Now, what is this thing about paskin like Rabbi Yossi? In what exactly did he paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So at the moment, we think that he's talking like, that he's paskin like Rabbi Yossi altogether, that the whole reason why we don't allow her to go back to her husband is because of what are people going to say? People are going to think that there was a tnai in the Kiddushin. Yeah, that's Rabbi Yosef's logic. Is maski for Rabbi Yosef? So Rabbi Yosef asked a question on Rabbi Yehuda, Umi Yomar Shmuel Hachi? Is that what Shmuel Taka holds? But we have a known machlekes, a Yevoma, when you have a sister-in-law who's zakuka, a sister-in-law who is waiting and she's attached to do yibum to the brother-in-law, as Rav Amar Harei he ke'ishas ish, v'Shmuel Amar ein ke'ishas ish. Rav says she's like a married woman, and Shmuel says she's not like a married woman. What on earth are they talking about? Of course, she's not married yet, right? She's only pending. She's pending marriage to the brother-in-law. So what does it mean when Rav said she's like an ishas ish and Shmuel said not? V'Yomar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna explained what they meant. Kegoyin shekidesh achivesa isha. It means, so Reuven married a woman, Kiddushin only, v'halach lelem dina sayom, and then he went overseas, v'shama shamei sachiv, and then Shimon heard that Reuven died overseas, v'amad v'nasa es ishtay, and he went and married the wife of Reuven. Yeah, that's right, he thought he was doing Yibum, right? The Rav Amar Harei ke'eshes ish. Rav says forbidden like an eshes ish, because the brother's still alive. V'yasur v'yavin, and she's not allowed to be with the brother-in-law. In other words, so it turns out that the guy was still alive. Yeah. So she can't go back to her husband now. She's an eshes ish. She can't go back to her first husband. Why can't she go back to her first husband? Because people are gonna think that the issue was that the guy who went overseas had a tznai in the kiddushin, and therefore they're going to think that it was the second one's marriage that was the real marriage. And if she now goes back to the first one, they're going to think that brothers can exchange wives. Yeah. So therefore, we say she can't go back to the first one. That's what it means. Ke'eshes ish, asur le'yovim. Yovim here means the first one, ironically, the one that people are going to think is the brother-in-law, who was really your first husband, she cannot go back to him. Shmuel says, we're not worried, people are going to think, and she can go back to him. So here we see that Shmuel is the one who says, we're not worried what people are going to think. People are going to think there was a tznai in the Kiddushin, and therefore the marriage to the second one was the real one. Shmuel says, people aren't going to think such a tznai in the Kiddushin. Whoever heard of a tznai in the Kiddushin? People went to a chasana, they're not going to think the next morning, maybe they're not really married because maybe they had some kind of a condition that we don't know about. Okay, you know what I mean. Yeah, people they went to the engagement party. Yeah, so therefore it's Shmuel says we're not worried that what people are going to think. Yeah, so what are you telling me, Shmuel Paskin, like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the whole basis of all these penalties are based on what people are going to think, that there was a tznai in the kiddushin of the first guy? Shmuel says clearly that we're not worried about people are going to think there was a tznai in the kiddushin of the first one. That's Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says back to Rabbi Yosef, Umimai, who told you, Dechi Omar Shmuel halacha ke Rabbi Yosef, Yad Rabbi Yosef nachlaka Omar? Your question is, because you're assuming that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosef nafcha, that what's Rabbi Yossi talking about? Rabbi Yossi is distinguishing between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Ergo, the whole logic of Rabbi Yossi is that what people are going to say, by Kiddushin they'll say there's a tnai in Kiddushin, and by Nisuin then they can't say that, therefore it's okay. And according to that, you would have a contradiction of Shmuel, that Shmuel shouldn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, if the reason of Rabbi Yossi is, like Yitzchak Nafcha said, to do with people thinking that there was a condition in the marriage. Dilma Adrabami Kamar. Maybe Shmuel holds like Ravami, that what's the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi? Between Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi's two cases of Pesel de Acherim and Ein Pesel de Acherim is dependent on whether she was married according to one witness or she married with the two witnesses. That's what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. Nothing to do with Kiddushin and Tznai and Kiddushin. Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama didn't even talk about that according to Ravami. So maybe Shmuel is learning Pshat like Ravami, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't say anything about Tznai and Kiddushin, and the Tanakhama doesn't either. It's a whole separate argument altogether. And therefore, Shmuel over here talks about people thinking there's a Tznai and Kiddushin, and Shmuel over there is talking about the penalties applying when it was Eid Echad or not Eid Echad, or Shnei Eid. Ve'in amid Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, and even if Shmuel does learn Pshat in Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, when he said Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, you assume that he said it in both instances. In the instance where Rabbi Yossi says that it's no good, which we said was when there's Kiddushin, because people think there's a tznai in the Kiddushin, and the case where he said it is good, which is the case of Nisuin. Mimai da poisel. How do you know that he agrees with Rabbi Yossi, that he said Allah and Rabbi Yossi on both statements of Rabbi Yossi, including the one where it's no good, because people will think, Dilma, I ain't a poysel. Maybe he's only passing on Rabbi Yossi in the case of Nisuin, where people won't think. Yeah. And there's no chashasha people are going to think. Inami, or Mimai, the Easter of Huna. Maybe Shmuel... Rav Huna was explaining the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. I was going to say maybe Shmuel doesn't agree with the way Rav Huna explained his own words, but it's obviously the questions are a bit different. Maybe Rav Huna's wrong. Instead of asking a kasha on Rav Yehuda for how can Shmuel say halacha k'Rav Yosi, what's your problem? You've got a contradiction in Shmuel. Maybe Rav Huna's explanation of Shmuel's statement of k'Rei Kesha is wrong. What are you blaming Rav Yehuda for? Rav Yehuda can say who says Rav Huna's right. Maybe Shmuel doesn't hold that she's Keshashish, and Shmuel also holds that we are, that she's any Keshashish, and Shmuel holds that we are worried about people thinking there was a Tana Kiddushin. Dilma, lesser Rav Huna, klal. Maybe Rav Huna's explanation of what Shmuel and Rav are arguing about is incorrect, and Shmuel never said that, and therefore Shmuel's not contradicting himself. Ah, if Rav Huna's wrong, how do you explain the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? What do you mean a sister-in-law is like an Eshashish? Why? It's like a riddle. Why is a sister-in-law like an Eshashish? Yes, Rav Huna gave one explanation. Maybe we don't go like Shmuel's, Rav Huna's explanation. Maybe we go like Rav Hamnuna's explanation. Or maybe it's the arguing on the din of Rav Hamnuna. Over the Rav Huna, they're arguing in this point of Rav Hamnuna. What's the point of Rav Hamnuna? The Amar Rav Hamnuna, Shemeres Yavm Shezinsa. You had a woman pending Yibum. And she went off and was Mizana. She didn't marry Lashuk, but she just went off and had an affair with somebody. Is Asura Liyavama. Then she to her brother-in-law. She cannot now do yibum afterwards. Why? The Rav Maharehi Keishasi Shumifsula Biznus, because Rav holds that she's like a married woman and is possible, just like a woman who's married and voluntarily goes off and has relations with somebody else. She now becomes osur to her husband. So this woman who's pending Yibum, who voluntarily went off and had relations with somebody else, is now osur to her brother-in-law. That's what Rav says. And Shmuel Amar Ein Nikeshashish, V'loy Mifshla Biznos. And Shmuel argues and says, no, what do I mean when I say that she's not like a married woman, that if she goes off and has relations with somebody else, that does not destroy her pending Yibum and she can still do Yibum. So maybe that's what Rav and Shmuel argue about, and Shmuel never said anything about people thinking there's a Tanai in the Kiddushin. It's two completely separate issues, there's no contradiction. The Inami, or it could be that Rav and Shmuel arguing about whether Kiddushin Tovsin B'Yavama Kemiflagi. Maybe when they talked about Harehi Ke'esha Sish or Eina Ke'esha Sish, they're arguing about whether Kiddushin is Tovsin. If you remember, we had the Machlokes before between Rav and Shmuel. Loisiyah Eisha Samesh Le'ish Zor. As Rav said, Loisiyah means that Kiddushin is not Chal, because Loisiyah means you can't have Havia, you can't have a marriage. It's the mechanism doesn't work. And Shmuel said, we have a Sophic. Does Laisiyah mean it cannot happen because the mechanism doesn't work? Or does it mean Laisiyah, it's a mitzvah Laisaseh, that it will work, but you transgressed an Aveira if you did it? Yeah, so we already had that Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, so maybe that's what they're talking about here about Ke'esh Asish. The Rav Amarei Ke'esh Asish. It's like she's married to somebody else, and therefore Lo Tovsi Ba Kiddushin. And therefore, if someone else tries to marry her, the Kiddushin doesn't even take effect. And Shmuel Amar Ein Ke'esh Asish. When she's pending Yibum, she's not like a married woman. And therefore, if someone else comes along and tries to marry her, Tovsi Ba Kiddushin, that will take effect. So that's the Machlokes. Ay, Freyli Gemorava, Ifligu Ba Charazimna. They already argued about that a couple pages ago. Yeah, back on page Sadik Beis, Amud Beis, and they argued Rav Mefurish. Rav said, Minayin Shein Kiddushin Tevsin B'Yavama, because it says Loisiyah. And Shmuel said, Ba'ani Yoseinu, because we have a poor understanding, we don't know what that Pasuk means, we have to misofik treat her like an Eshashish. Treat her like she's not an Eshashish on the condition of Chal. So why would they argue at two different times using two different expressions, which will confuse everybody? And it says the Gemara, Chadim Miklal Dechavetze Itmar. They didn't actually argue about it twice. They argued about it once. The Gemara, when it put together the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, put it together, mentioned it in two different ways. But they were really, it's one argument that just manifested itself in two different expressions. So therefore, it could be that that's the argument between Rav and Shmuel over here, and therefore we don't have any contradictions in Shmuel saying halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, because He can paskin like Rabbi Yosi that we're not worried, that we are worried about people thinking that there was a condition on the original marriage, and that's the whole basis of all these penalties, according to Rabbi Yosi. All these penalties we learned at the beginning of the Perek, it's only in Kiddushin because people will think. Yeah, and according to the Tanakhama, of course, it's not that, it's a penalty. It's not about what people will think. It's just she went and married without making sure that her husband was dead, so it's on her head, we're going to punish her. Okay, I believe the Gemara gets a little bit easier from here, so I hope you enjoyed that bit. But here we go. It's only a little bit easier, not a lot easier. Here we go. Amrulay Mesa Ishtacha, they told the guy his wife died. So he went and married her sister from her father's side, but with a different mother. Mesa, and then they told him that she died. So he married her sister from her mother's side, who was not related to the first wife. Mesa, then she died, and she married another sister from the father's side. Mesa, then she died. I mean, they told her that she died. In each case, we mean Mesa, that they told him that his wife died, having a bad run. And they kept telling him every time he married someone, 5 minutes later, they told him his wife died. The Nasa Chesem Ayim, and she married someone else. The Nimtza Kulan Kayamos, and it turns out it was all a fib, and they're all alive. So here's a picture I prepared earlier. So we have here five wives. Yeah, so there was an original, these guys, man, so that's a man and that's a woman, yeah? They had a daughter, and he married her. And then they told him that she died, so he went and married this one. This one has the same mother as, so two has the same mother as one, but a different father. That's the different father over here. Then they told him that two died, so he went and married three. Three has the same father as two, but a different mother. Obviously, these marriages at the top were not at the same time, because a woman can't be married to two men at the same time, but someone died, yeah? Then, etc., right? So each time they told him that one died, he went and married the next one, and each next one had one parent in common with the previous one, but no parents in common with two wives ago. Yeah, is that picture any good? Yeah, okay, so therefore... Nearly as good as that scroll. didn't have an art scroll handy to make the picture. Okay. So, and it turns out that they're all alive now. So the guy's standing there, Ove, I've got five women here. They all think they're my wife. What am I going to do now? Says the Mishnah. It's a problem. Mutter barishena uvashlishis uvachamishis. So he's allowed to keep the numbers 1, 3, and 5. Why? Because since one was still alive, so the marriage he made to two didn't take effect because it's a chos ishtoi. Kiddushin was not chal. So therefore that two is nothing. So when he married three, three and one are not related to each other at all, right? They have different pair of parents. And therefore, he can marry a second wife. So three is married to him. Four is a chos ishtoi because since three was married to him, four has the same mother as three, therefore it's a chos ishtoi, and therefore four is not chal. So therefore five, so he's married so far to one and three. So five is completely unrelated to three, and therefore, five is also chal. So the kiddushin is chal on 1, 3, and 5, and not on 2 and 4. He's a very lucky man. Is mutter barishayin of shlishis of a chamishis, and therefore, so he's now married to 1, 3, and 5. Upoitres tzareseyim. If he then dies without any kids, and the brother comes along and does yibum and chalitza or chalitza with one of those out of 1, 3, and 5, it patters the others, like a normal case. If a guy dies with a few wives, then chalitza or yibum with one of them patters the rest, right? So that's all good. V'osr b'shnia uveraviz. He's not allowed to be with the number 2 and number 4. Number 2 is a chos ishtoi because of number 1. Number 4 is a chos ishtoi because of number 3. V'ein b'yas achas mehen p'teres tzarasa. And therefore, this bit a little bit superfluous, that in that case the bia of one of them is not going to say she's married to somebody else. They're not related. 2 and 4 are not considered are not his wives, and therefore if someone does yibum chalitza with 2 and 4, it's not. So if he dies, then this guy, and someone came along and one of the brothers came and did chalitza to 2 or 4, it's not going to help because they're not really his wives. And therefore, it's a garnish. And therefore, the yibum with 2 or 4 is not going to get help 1, 3, and 5, they're still zakuka. V'im ba'al ha'shniyah la'achar mitzvah rishona. What happens if one really was dead? So that was talking about when they were all still alive. What happens if really one was dead, but the other four were alive? Is then it flips over. Is then mutta b'shniyah raviyah. So since one was dead, the kiddushin were chal on two. And therefore, since Kiddushin is Chal on 2, Kiddushin was not Chal on 3, because 3 is a Chais Ishtay of 2. And then Kiddushin is Chal on 4, because 4 and 2 are not related to each other, and Kiddushin is not Chal on 5. It's therefore, in Bala Shnei Alachar Mises HaRishayna, if he got onto 2 after 1 was already dead, is Mutter B'Shnei Uravis, therefore he is now married to 2 and 4, Upoitris Tzarisayim, and again, there are co-wives, and a normal thing applies, Chalitza with one of them, or Yubim with one of them, Patas the other. The also Beshlishes of the Chamishis, 3 and 5 are now also to him, they are not his wives. The Yain Biyasachas Men Peteris Tarasa, and therefore, if he died, someone did Biyo with 3 or 5, it is not going to Pater 2 and 4, because they're not married. 3 and 5 are not married. Okay, that wasn't too complicated, hopefully. Next bit. Now we come on to the whole bunch of stuff to do with a 9-year-old boy. Bentesha Shonav Yemechad. You have a 9-year-old boy. So, a 9-year-old boy is, of course, under Bar Mitzvah. So he's not a gadol, but he is considered physically mature enough that if he has intimacy, that's considered an act of bia. Yeah. So therefore, he's sort of in the in-between status. He's not a gadol, but he's not exactly a katan either. Yeah. So what happened is, so the din is that who poisa ayadei achin, if he has relations with one of the wife, yeah. Then he prevents that wife from doing Yibum with his brother. Yeah. So a fellow dies and he has two brothers. One is a Godel and one is a 9-year-old. If the 9-year-old jumped in and did an act of relation, of intimacy, then the adult cannot do Yibum anymore with that woman. And clearly, if the older brother did something, then it's going to stop him also. That means even if he got in first, and the brother came along and came second, because the brother is an adult and he's a child, the brother knocks him out. Ella, what's the difference then between an adult brother and a child brother? Who poisel tchila? He only makes it possible for the brother if he got in first. So if the child went in first and did bia, then the second brother cannot anymore do yibum. The achin poisel tchila b'soif. But let's say that if the adult did a bia first, then when the younger kid came along, then his bia is nothing. It's just nus. Yeah? But what if the older brother was first? If the younger brother was first, the child, and the older brother came along, because the older brother's an adult, his bia is stronger than the child's. And therefore, even though the child thought he was already married to her, the older brother comes and knocks him out. Yeah, and that's what means the bra'achin poistlin tchila v'soif. The older brother knocks him out, even if the older brother came second. Ketzad, as the Mishnah explains, how was that? Ben teish shonav yemecha chabal yavimto, he had relations with the Yavama posla dayachin, then she can no longer do yibum with any of the brothers. Bo alel achin, if the brothers had relations with her, or even osuba maimer, or nosnu get, or Chaltzu, that means even though after he already had relations with her, and then the brothers came along and had relations with her also, or they did Maimer with her, or they gave her a get, or they did Chalitza, in all of those cases, Poistim al-Yodai, they knock him out, because his beer doesn't really count, because he's only 9 years old, he's only a half a beer, and therefore the older brother has the power to knock him out. Fred the Gemara, okay, so that's the Mishnah. Wow, we're so far behind. We'll have to go on a little bit. Yeah, you happy to go on a little bit?
Well, tomorrow you'll catch up. Yeah. Oh, no. Shabbos. I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can try, but I think we should. So the Gemara says, shall I go on?
Maybe
2 or 3 minutes. Okay, we'll do 2 or 3 minutes. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean if you married two after one was dead? They were all. So the Gemara didn't understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said Mesa in the beginning, they thought it meant that it means the same thing as the Mesa afterwards. When it says Achar Mises Rishon, they thought it meant after he was told that his wife died, like it does in the Resha. Yeah, so they said, what do you mean? It's all talking about after he was told that. It's Amrav Shesh, just no, Achar Mises Rishon Avad, it means that she really died. If one really died, then he's married to 2 and 4. Okay, then we have the Benteisha Shonim. Says the Gemara, Benteisha Shonim Yemecha, Tchila Apostle. If he gets in first, he apostles for the brothers. Besayif Lai Apostle, but if he comes in second, he doesn't apostle for the brother. Fred the Gemara, Vatani Rav Zvir Barabba Ishiya, Ha'isa Maimer B'Yavimtoi. Someone does Maimer on the sister in law. Achakach Ba'achiv Shu Benteisha Shonim Yemecha Aleha. And then afterwards came the kid, the 9 year old kid, and had relations with her. Posla. So what is he? How can we say that? We said in the Mishnah, it's only if he's in first. But a kid who comes second doesn't passel on the older brother. Is Omri, the Gemara answers, no. Be a passel afilu b'soif. If he had intimacy with her, then he passels her even if he comes second. But Maimer, if he did Maimer with her, tchila passel, then he passels her even if he's, then only if he's first. But b'soif loy passel. If he comes afterwards, it doesn't passel. Yeah, Fred the Gemara, really? Ubiya afilu b'soif pasul? That means what happens? That the kid came second and did biya, that pasul's her on the adult brother? V'hakatani, but the Mishnah said, Elashahu paisul tchila, the child is only pasul's at the beginning. V'hein tchila b'soif. And the Mishnah explains what it means. Keitzad, benteisha shanav yemecha cheba'al yavimtoi. That means it's talking about biya. And even with biya, the child is only pasul's if he comes first. So the Gemara says, no, Chesuri mechs with his words missing in the Mishnah, v'achi getani, it should say as follows. Benteisha shanav yemechad, if he's 9 years old, who paisel tchila, v'hein paisel in tchila v'soif. The child is only pasels if he gets in first, the brother pasels whether they're first or second. Bamed varim amurim b'maimer. That's only if we're talking about maimer, which is a verbal marriage. Avol bia, but if they actually have an act of intimacy, is paisel afilu b'soif. Then the child's bia pasels even if it comes second. So how does it work? Even if it was second. So the first brother did Maimer, and then the child came and did Bia, that puzzles the second brother, the older brother. Okay. Fred the Gemara, Umi Isle Maimer Klal, does a 9 year old, yeah? Does his Maimer have any impact at all? His physical act of intimacy is a physical act. But when he comes along Harayat Makudeshus and he's a 9 year old kid, does that passel anybody? Vahatanya, we learned in a brisa. Bentesh Shanav Yemechad, who paisel bedover echad? He can only make a problem with one thing, which is physical act. Vahachin paisel mayadoy bar bodvarim. The brother, the older brother, the adult brother, can knock him out with four things. Who paisel de achin bebiya? Only with the physical act of intimacy. Vahachin paisel mayadoy bebiya b'maimer beged of a chalitza. Because all of those, the actions of an adult, count. So the Gemara says, no, he passels through Maimer as well. Why doesn't this Brisa mention him passeling through Maimer? Because Bia the Pastel Baim Bitchila Baim Besoif, the Bia of a child passels no matter whether it's first or second. Therefore, psikolei, therefore it's a clear cut statement. The Bia of a child passels the older brother. So therefore the Brisa mentions it. But Maimer, when the child does Maimer, the Betchila apostle, if he gets in first and does Maimer, apostles the brother. But Besoif Loi apostle, if he comes afterwards and does Maimer, it doesn't affect the brother. And therefore, you cannot just make a blanket statement that Maimer of a child apostles the brother. Because it sometimes does, sometimes doesn't. Therefore, Loi Psikolei, it's not a clear thing, and therefore the Brisa doesn't want to mention it. It's Marnami, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shmuel, Yesh Loi Get. The child has even a Get. V'chein Om Rav Tachlivi, Brav Lume, Yesh Loi Maimer. He has Maimer. Yeah, and that's if he came first. The child did these things first, it has an effect. Tananami Hach, we have a brisa like that. Yeshle get, we yeshle maimer, divar Rav Meir, he has that his get and his maimer do have some sort of impact if it came first. Fred the Gemara, Vesava Rav Meir, yeshle get, does Rav Meir hold that a child, a 9 year old, can give a get? Vatanya Lin the brisa. Also, be a spentesha kamaimer begodol. The Tanakhama says that the intimacy of a 9 year old has the same impact like maimer of an adult. It's sort of halfway kind of.
Yeah, but Maimer doesn't, it's not the other way around, but Maimer doesn't do, Maimer wouldn't do anything.
No, 1 minute. That's a Tanakhama. Rav Meir Reimer, also Chalitza Spenteisha could get begodol. If a 9 year old does Chalitza, then it's like a get of an adult. Now, what does that mean? Im Esau, if it's true that the get of a 9 year old also passels, is listening to Kegito. Why don't they just say that the chalitza of a 9 year old is the same as the get of a 9 year old? Why say that the chalitza of a 9 year old is like a get of an adult? Is Omer of Hunder Beit of Yeshua Islay Vizuter. He has a get, but it's not as strong as the adults get. And therefore, I want to say that his chalitza, though, is as strong as the adults get. L'Rabbi Gamliel, why is it not as strong? L'Rabbi Gamliel, Damar ain't get acha get. According to Gamliel, if one gave a get and the second one gave a get, the second's get doesn't count. Is hani merely be gadol acha gadol? That's if both of the people giving the gets were adults. Or the katan acha katan, because the second one doesn't make effect. Because manavshach, if the first one worked, the second one's garnished. And if the first one didn't work, then the second one didn't work either. Avol gadol acha katan mahani. But if the katan gave a get and then the adult gave a get afterwards, that get that the adult gave is stronger and it has an effect as well. And therefore, he will be considered divorced to her and also in her relatives, and she's also in his relatives, etc. L'Rabbanon de Amr Yesh Ket Acha Get, according to the Chachamim, who in general hold that one, that two brothers in a row giving a get and both take effect. Hani mili begodol acha godol lebekotan acha godol. That's if both brothers are the same status, either an adult or a child. Avakotan acha godol, but a child after an adult, loim hani does not take any effect. All right, maybe we'll leave it here.